Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Good morning all, and welcome to today's Sunday Q&A. We're going to kick off with Leachy, who says, whatever you're doing with the settings, leave them as they are. We've solved the lip sync issue. It turned out to be the Samsung camera app that came with the phone. Never had that before. And if I use that, everything was completely out of sync. So I downloaded a new one. We'll come to that later, but before we come to it, Wise Guys. I know we haven't come to the Wise Guys, but it's my channel, I can do what I like. From the sound, you know, I'm outside on a windy day with the other car. I used to use this thing. It's kind of a little lavier mic. That plugs into the USB-C in the bottom. You plug that in, it goes green like that. The green light that's now flashing goes solid green, and it works. Plug into this phone. Doesn't work. Don't know why. So does anyone know a separate app where you can actually use it as an external mic, which will probably mess the lips up again, or why it's not working? Is there a way that I can... interesting. That's not really. Is there a way... I've looked in the audio settings and something like that to find an external mic. I can't do it. But if I could just get that up and running... That'd be great, because the app is good. We'll come to it later, though, anyway, so we'll talk about the camera. But before we do, Leachy has also got Question of the Week, which is on 132. See, I've got my phone on, so it's only a little tiny red, but I can see it. He says, has anyone else had a nightmare waiting at Menzies World Cargo at Heathrow? Got stuck there for nearly 3 hours for collection, which meant I missed my delivery drop, which is daft, isn't it, really, the amount of times I say that to you. Pick up at 12 o'clock, or pick up at, like, 2 o'clock. So you got to collect it. Where's it going to? Oh, it's going to Wilmot Dixon. It's a sight, isn't it? You're now telling me to pick this up at 2 o'clock. I'll be loaded by 3. The journey's an hour or an hour and a half. And I'm going to a site that shuts at 4 o'clock. Genius. Who thought that one up? But people do. Send lorries into places where you can't actually get a sort of a moped. People do. So what I was going to, I thought, it's kind of a question of the week. What I want to know... You know, what is the longest anyone has ever been at a delivery point? I thought I'd make a little video of it. I thought it might be good. I'll tell you mine. I'll keep it sick. Keep me powder dry for now. Where was I this week? In Liverpool. I was at DHL. I got in there at 2:10. I got out at 5:10. 2 hours waiting just to get on a bay. Just queues of lorries. And I had a delivery slot of 2 o'clock. I went in and I got delivery slot at 2 o'clock, and the guy walked out in front of me said, yeah, I have got a delivery slot for 12 o'clock. I've already been here for 2 hours. So that was ridiculous, but not the longest. Not the longest. What is the longest anyone has ever waited? And we'll do a little, we might do a top, if I get enough of them, we'll do an Adam Friedman top 10. Da, 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 da. Contemporary reference to the 18 to 25-year-olds there. All right, so this week's main video was shippers, try this. Because now I'm planning the lorries, which I've got to say is very, very difficult, because I keep planning the lorries and then people keep changing the plans on me. It's not easy. But I'm getting there. I've got a diary. I'm getting there. It's not stressing me out. No, it's fine. So the idea being, why does everybody want everything picking up at 9 o'clock in the morning? I'm sure not like everything is that urgent. And if you could just stagger the delivery times... You would have more chance of getting the job off for less money. We're not all available at 9 o'clock in the morning. A lot of us have got jobs. So anyway, but this is what you guys thought. Gabor says, smart thinking. Thanks, Gabor. Leachy says, more bids equal lower prices for us drivers. It's bad enough at the moment. Also, Pete, you've seen it from both sides of the coin. You must surely understand that us drivers have overhead days per week. So would you take the lowest price on every job knowing full well it's too cheap? That's a very good question. I wouldn't always take the lowest price. it depends also on feedback and distance. As I said, in fact, we did a video about this, didn't we? Let's put a little link in for you. Put a little link. But on the whole, price is the dictating factor. And I know it's the reoccurring theme on the channel that the prices are too low and it's not right. But the problem, actually, we'll come, there was a question about that. We'll address that one later because that one comes up. I've actually read through. That never happens. Johnny 13 says, bigger collection times, only trying to make it easier for your CX jobs in the afternoon. Nice try. Johnny, what I'm saying is this. If you're a shipper, maybe go to your customer that says, can they collect it at 9 o'clock in the morning? And go, do you really need it collecting at 9 o'clock in the morning? Or if I can get it between 9 and 12 or between 10 and 2, I can maybe get you a bit cheaper. And they might go, that's very nice. And from your point of view, how many times have you turned around and gone, oh, that's the perfect job on there? And it's like, I've got to drop this one this morning, get that one off, and there's a job, and it's just taken me like, oh, look, don't work, does it? Because they want it at 8:30 in the morning. I've got a booking time of 9. So by the time I get mine off and get over to there, it's going to be 9:30, 10 o'clock, I'm going to be too late. Whereas if it had the big time, you could go, cool, blinding, I'll have that job. I'm not saying a bit cheaper on it. It's a bit the right money. But you might think, it's just, I'm actually trying to make life easier. I'm trying to make a way that maybe there's more opportunities for drivers to grab jobs. People are going to do what they're going to do. Chances are, and it comes down to someone else turns around and says, Alex Robinson, he says, this is a good point. He says, I see what you're saying. I'm also a shipper. However, and if my customer asks for it ASAP, unless we can't do it for whatever reason, we deliver ASAP. I always deliver ASAP. The people who want it in the morning will come into work knowing that they can crack on whatever they need to do straight away rather than potentially sit around waiting. So, yeah, they do want it first thing in the morning. And it is a reasonable point. I think everybody does pretty much want the stuff out, like, you know. So in which case, if they say, you can turn around and say, do you really need it out? Yes, we want it out first thing. Fine, it's out first thing. But how many of you have noticed that when you're looking for a job the next day, everything's collecting first thing in the morning? Absolutely everything. It's the Mother's Day principle. I want my flowers delivered at 10 o'clock in the at 10 o'clock in the morning. Would it really matter to your mum if it was 10:30? Would it matter if it's 9:30? If it does, you pay the extra, you get it at 10:30. You get to 10 o'clock. If it's a little bit later, I could do it on my way back. You know, I don't know. I'd like to say, I don't know. It was just something that I've noticed in planning, that a lot of jobs all come out at the same time. And I'm thinking to myself, is that really necessary? Perhaps it is. I doubt anything will change. Just a thought. Now, the camera. I've already had a quick go at the camera. We've had a little whinge on about the camera. Shane Hardy says, good review, Pete. Hopefully you'll figure out how to get the video and sound synced. I have, Shane. Thanks very much. Another thing about it, I'm now using this thing. It's called HD Camera. It's an app for Samsung. I don't quite know. I did one first of all, and it was okay, but it had like adverts. And I thought, well, can I buy the premium version? I'll give them a fiver for life if I could buy the premium version. It wasn't one. I thought, I'm forever going to have to look at adverts. That's irritating. Then I downloaded this one. It's really good. I mean, I don't know. I think at the palette at the moment, I've got it on auto. One thing I will say is occasionally I get a white line down the front of my nose, which makes me look like an Indian chief going to war, which is great. Who doesn't like that? but it's all different settings. You can change the palette. You can change it. But the one thing I can't get my head around is this microphone thing. So we need to work out why the microphone isn't working. If I could just get that up and running, and then everything about this phone would be fabulous. I still think, for the money, £136 on Amazon. For a 6.6-inch screen, and okay, maybe sometimes it doesn't fire up as quick as the other one, but we're talking split seconds here. Absolute nonsense that one phone is £1,200 and one phone is, £1,200 and one phone is £120, and the discernible difference between the two, I think, is negligible. I wish I'd known about this ages ago. I would have got onto it ages ago. London Creative, Nick is out there, says, did you rub Vaseline over the lens to give you a beauty shot look? Or is it just soft focus filter to give the sides of you a misty look? Thanks for the shout out. He's got his own channel. Like I say, check him out. Nick at London Creative, and he does London Creative out and about. It's not called Nick out, it's just called London Creative. So it's not all weird and off the wall just being London Creative. Yeah, it's not all. You know, the creative stuff is about what interesting walks around London. The out and about stuff is alternative look at London, you know, different ways to go about it. You know, it's there. This is the default setting, and I'm quite happy with it. I'm not technical. I don't go in and check out, you know, sound balances, even when I'm editing my videos. I'm a bit of a Luddite, like, you know, just knock it all together. Although Nick has told me about J cuts and L cuts, and when I do the next lot, I've got to get on to those. But, yeah, just press record. I'm very much a point-and-shoot kind of guy. Leachy says, I also went down a contract route and getting a new phone every year for 18 months. Then I had to buy a new phone while I was in India a few years ago. I bought a cheap Nokia, and it made me realise I didn't need an expensive phone. The downside was the camera wasn't as good. I'm now on a SIM-only contract, but using a Pixel 7, which I got for a really good price. I keep them for about 2 to 3 years and replace them. Yeah, I think the story with this one, they say this is the best-selling phone in the world. It sells heavily in India and China. And the reason is because it's so cheap, and Samsung bring out a new model apparently every 6 months. And what a lot of people do is it's that cheap that every 6 months they buy the new model and then give the old model to their mum, their dad, their granddad. There you go, Dad, you can have that one. And that's why everybody's got one, like, you know. But I don't see, I'll replace it when I need to replace it. The one thing I do wonder, anybody, once again, another wise guy's phone question, got nothing to do with career driving. It's my channel, I can do what I like. There's the A14, the 24, the 34, the 54. Has anyone got a 34? Has anyone got a 54? Does it make a lot of difference? I think the difference in price between the bottom of the A range and the top of the A range is about 100 quid. Is the camera on the 100 quid, or is the software on the top one better? Or, you know, is it better to get a reconditioned S series? Or, I don't know. In fairness, I've spent enough time looking at it, I'm happy with that. I'm curious to know that if I went up from a 34 to from a 14 to a 34 or a 54, would it make any difference? And I supremely doubt it. Damien says, yeah, the Samsung Z Fold, he had a Z Fold 4, I had a 3, 15 months and the screen died. Luckily, I had a 24-month warranty. I had a 24-month warranty on mine, but I know I went into the shop, and when it's not working, they dropped it. Oh, you see what's happened here? Oh, you know, it's that kind of, had the cowboys in here. Yeah, a cup of tea, three sugars. That kind of thing, like, you know. And I thought, what's going to happen is they're going to send this one off. Then they're going to offer to repair it. They're going to tell me it's my fault. They're going to tell me it's 500 quid to fix the inside screen. And I thought, I can't be doing it. And I've got to be without the phone as well while I send it off. And of course, you need your phone. Don't take my phone away. You know, you can't do that. So, in the end, this is, it's sitting in the drawer. It will work as a spare phone on the front screen. If anything ever happens to this, or it dies, or I lose it, or it gets eaten by a dragon, I'll just pull that one out. Yeah, that's cool. I had a bit of a difficulty with the memory issue as well, because I couldn't work out with the HD camera app how to get the videos to go onto the SIM card. Not SIM card, to the memory card. So I put a memory card in it, because it's only 64 gig in memory. But for 15 quid, I boosted it up to, like, I've got a 256 gig card for, like, 15 quid. It's that big. And I couldn't work out how to put the videos onto the card. It's got nothing to do with career driving, has it? So what I did instead is I just put everything else on the card, all my photos, all my old videos, and just transferred them over. So now the phone memory is clear, so I can do this. Wonderful. And then found out I really don't need that much, because most of the other stuff I use are the little cameras. These things. Okay, you don't care. You don't care. Where are we up to? That was it. That was it. And we're up to the wise guys. 13:14. David Batchelor, he says, how do I find my comments on your videos? David, I haven't got a clue. That's why it's the wise guys. I don't know. What I do is I basically I copy and paste them into a Word document, print them out, and read them. I presume you either have to scroll all the way back through. Is there one particular comment that you're missing? If so, just type it again. I'm sure we can readdress it. Otherwise, if anyone knows how to find your comments that you put on other people's YouTube videos, let me know, and we'll let David know next week. Neptune Courier, I'm Annie Scotland. Good to see you still out there, sir. He says, off topic, but he says, but an easy way to stop syndicate drivers would be to have, like, location-based loading, e.g. like McDonald's, Deliveroo, and Everydo. If the device is not a pickup, the app will not allow it to be progressed. I know what it means. It's a bit like they have that with the Waitrose, and they have it with the kind of the thing where you've got to do every drop-in order. It's massively frustrating. My cousin Dan, Darren works for Ocado. And it's that thing that if you're on a run early and you kind of go, you get to a stop. So say you're doing like you're half an hour ahead of time on your multi-drop. And then you get to a stop and it's like, no, they're not going to be in for the next hour. Rather than them being able to go around and do the next two or three on the list, which might be relatively local, pop back to that one and do it and carry on with the route, you have to sit there. And it's like, this is just, I've just got to put my feet out. He's pretty, in fairness, he's pretty laid back about this kind of stuff, like, you know. But, yeah, no, you just have to sit there. Yeah, it would be a way, you know, with the tracking. I know also with the Amazon Prime thing, they make theirs location. Because if you have the Amazon Prime stop, because what they were finding is their drivers were saying that they were on-site delivery because they were running late, so they just click on-site delivery when they were 20 minutes away. And then they would get to the delivery point. It was messing them up. So they made it location-based. So, Wise Guys, what do we think to the idea of location-based on the Courier Exchange app? So rather than saying, I'm on-site delivery, it's geo-linked. Is that a good idea? It could be a separate video on this. Let's see what people say. Is it a good idea? Is it what happens if you're in an area where you can't get a true signal? So you're trying to go, I'm on-site, and it can't, which happens sometimes. Like, you know, what if the CX is down? It's a thought. Let's have comments on that one, shall we? And finally, the nefarious Steve Campbell. He says, this was to do with bus drivers versus, like, you know, the difference between a PGCE and PGCE. That's a teaching certificate. An HGV and a PSV. So I think that's right, isn't it, for buses? That'll be next week's mistakes. It's not so much the experience of driving a large vehicle, it's more the experience of using a taco and load distribution and security as too many mistakes on drivers' tacos being pulled by Voza and the load isn't secure or the axles are being overweight because overweight on the front or something, it messes up company scores on the operator's license. Driving a double-decker bus is easier than driving a taxi as they do not use a taco. Do taxis use tacos? Anybody? A lot of questions today, isn't it? It's Educate Beat Day today. Use tacos. And I've yet to see a bus driver distribute the load of passengers due to their weight and strap them in. Anyone can drive a bus, LOL. Don't know if anyone can drive a bus. You know, I imagine a degree of training probably is required to drive that. Because they do that thing, don't they? Whereas I said to a guy once, I said, what's the difference? And he said, the main difference is we use the curb, we use the pavement. We're trying to use pavement a lot more because the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus are different to the wheels on a lorry, aren't they? Because I think a lot of them, the front wheels, sit behind the driver's cab, which means the front end of the bus sticks out an awful lot more, unlike the front end of a lorry where the wheels are kind of under the cab, which means what they have to do is they go and they swing across pavements. Let me know if I'm right with this. So you have to watch out with pavements, looking out. You're trained to look out for lampposts, bins, them kind of bollards, them metal things on the triangular things in the middle of the road, because you're going to have to use a pavement. People, because you have to use a pavement to get round. I think that's the difference. But we'll see. Next week's mistakes. Here we come. Right, miscellaneous. We did one on foreign drivers, didn't we? I thought, yeah, I got the elephant in the room. And I've got to say, people were pretty much, you know, good about it. But it was, right. So, but we had another couple of straggler comments. Forsyth says, as far as foreign drivers go, I know a few will not clock off until every last parcel is gone. One lad from Hull must have an understanding partner. Sometimes the last drop is 10 p.m, a 1 hour drive back. They double up with friends who're struggling. We need to follow them. Teamwork is across, you know, we need teamwork across the board. I certainly agree with the last statement. I always said, if we behaved more like ants than people, just think of the things we could build. If we actually really work together rather than, but it's just, we seem to be hardwired. This is your nature-nurture debate here. We're in philosophical territory now. It's the hardwired, it's the difference between are we trained to be the way we are, or are we born to be the way we are? Are human beings generally mean, evil, selfish people? Or are we actually altruistic people and it's society that makes us into the people that we are? This has been a very bizarre game. Thoughts on that one? Ethics. Which is a town in Kent. No, it's not. It's near Kent. Jackal. says, hello, mate, all the best from a foreign driver. I'm from Poland, original. Jekyll, thanks for the comment, mate. And Godzilla's. He says, here's a story about foreign drivers. He said, I was collecting a place at the same time as a young chap from somewhere. He's, you know, he turned up. He said, I explained that I was after, whereas, hang on. I explained what I was after, whereas he was struggling, so I offered to help. We went through his phone to get the job details up to ask what he needed. I explained that he had three drops and put them in his van in the correct order. I also showed him how to use Google Maps to search for addresses, as he didn't quite get postcodes and how they worked. On completion of my job, I called in to say all done and the POD would be sent across. However, what I didn't know was the lad I'd helped was doing a collection for the same people who he was doing for, who thanked me and gave me an extra 40 quid for taking time to show him how to do his role. Like I say, work together, boys. That is karma, that is. You get rewarded for it. I was doing me midsummer this week, and the blessing there was a guy outside, and he was just an electrician, but he'd been sent in to pick up some solar panels and some rails, and he had to strap them to the roof of his van, and he had no idea how to do it. He said, you got any idea how to do this ratchet strap? So I showed him. I said to him, I says, I've still got a channel on this. And I went, get your phone out. I said, because I will show you how to do this, and within 10 minutes, you will completely forget how to do it. So what we do, and I've got a phone out, I sat there for 5 minutes going, right, so what you do is you have that there, you push that through there, you click that one on there, like, you know. And then as it turned out, you still couldn't work out how to do it because you had to shut the door, so I ended up ratchet strapping it to the roof for him. You probably never have to use it again. But he's still got the video on his phone. When I'm famous, he can sell it for a lot of money. Domain name guy, we're on the miscellaneous, said, there's no money in driving anymore. It's tough, we all know that. Even driving agencies are only paying approximately £11.75 per hour for van drivers and £16 per hour for Class 1 HGVs, which means even if a driver just rents a room as accommodation, drivers are paying 2 weeks' money every month just to get a room to live in shares houses, costing £500, £700 a month. It's bleak times for drivers in the industry. This is what I was saying also when I was talking about the foreign driver thing. Are we not looking at the wrong people here? Are we not looking to the people that are charging us exorbitant gas bills, exorbitant electric bills, making billions of pounds worth of profit? Well, we're basically giving pretty much all of our income over just to make ends meet. Like, Vadim says, are the CX shippers the reason the courier rates are so low? It's not unusual when drivers are paid just a third of the freight price. There should be some sort of regulation and the fair proportion as a taxi drivers, you know, like there is for taxi platforms, for example. With Vadim, it's probably the second time it's come up in today's Q&A. It is that age-old thing. It is an auction site. You can't turn around and go, right, we're having an auction. We're going to auction this Picasso painting. But it's only a painting, so it's not worth more than £250,000 because it's a piece of, well, it's only a painting. It's only paper and a bit of paint on it. And that's really only worth, what, you know, £200. So first person gives us £200 can have it. It's not the way it works. It's an auction site. It's we will take the best bid possible, and some jobs will be worth more to some people than they will be to others. It's a sad case, but it is what it is. And finally, conclusion this week from Van Lee says, do you play Warhammer 2? No, I play Space Invaders from time to time, which I play the PS4. I had the VR thing for a little while. That was fun. It's all Space Invaders, by the way. Every one of it's just different size pixels. It's all Space Invaders. And I did Wargaming, I think, at school, moving little tanks around. But no, it is a thing. I know people are out there doing it. And apparently Henry Cavill and all, you know, Superman, they're all big into it, and it is a thing. But no, alas, that particular avenue of pleasure passed me by. So that's it. And on Godzilla's, finally, if you wondered what happened on your comment, do you need an operator's license, a yard to get an operator's license, which is a question that someone asked next week, it's because you get another separate video. I'm going to do that one on its own because I think it's the kind of thing that if anyone is searching, one of my top videos is how to get an operator's license. And I think that's something I maybe missed out. So I think we'll do a link to it. So thanks for all for listening. I hope you had a wonderful week out on the road, and I hope next week is busy for you and you get to. Take care and take money.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.